Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Vegas, you're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and we're glad that you could tune in and listen this morning. This is going to be our last broadcast concerning the topic of forgiveness. We've talked about different aspects of forgiveness. We've talked about God and forgiveness, and now we're talking about forgiveness and others. And in our previous two shows, we've talked about obstacles to forgiveness, and then last week we started talking about the process of forgiveness. So let's just jump right in where we left off the last time and continue on here. Remember last time in Luke chapter 17, starting in verse 1, Jesus taught that things to cause people to sin are bound to come, but woe to that person through whom they come. So we don't want to be guilty of sinning against someone else, if it's at all possible. Now, again, we know that those things are bound to come, but we really need to, like he says, watch ourselves. We need to be very careful, and especially with those who are younger or less spiritual or less understanding than we are, we have to really be careful that we don't sin against someone else. Now, we talked about, he goes on to say, if your brother sins, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Now, remember one of the obstacles that we talked about to forgiveness was that, you know, well, I don't think they deserve my forgiveness. Well, here's the thing. If a person repents, it doesn't make them deserving of forgiveness. It makes them eligible for forgiveness. Okay, because you see, when you rebuke your brother or your sister and they repent, that means they're showing humility. It means that they're willing to listen to you, that there's a reasonableness about them. It doesn't mean that they deserve it. In fact, if you think about it, none of us really absolutely deserves to be forgiven. But the point is, from Ephesians 4:32, that we are to forgive others as God forgave us. That's the basis for our forgiveness of other people. And so if your brother sins, we're to go to him and let him know that he sinned against us. Now, there may be times where he recognizes that before we have to go to him. That's great. But all this is saying is that if he doesn't, that you're to go to him or her and rebuke them. And if he repents, forgive him. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later, even if he doesn't repent, we're still on our part to forgive them, to let those things go. And it says, if he sins against you seven times in a day and seven times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. Okay, like the apostle said, Lord, increase our faith. It's not the easiest thing. And so we've got to be willing to have this attitude, the spirit of forgiveness. It's something that should be, I choose to do this. I want to do this, not something that I have to do. All right. Now, let's turn over to Matthew 18. Jesus says something similar in another place. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 15. Matthew 18:15 says, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. Okay, so that fits right in line with what he talked with Luke. If your brother sins, rebuke him. Or in this case, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. In other words, we're to take care of our individual problems and issues and sin and wrong against each other individually. We're to take care of that individually. Okay, we're not to make a big deal of it. And I like what this says. Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. You're not supposed to go to everybody else in the church or everybody else you know or everybody at work or everybody at school or anything else and tell them all about it and start telling everybody else what this person's done to you. You're supposed to go to the person. Okay, don't be a gossip. Don't be a slanderer. Don't maliciously try to undermine somebody else's character because they did something wrong to you. You go tell them about it. Okay? You go tell them about it. And here's another tip. If somebody comes to you and wants to start telling you about how somebody else sinned against them and what they did to him or what they said to them, you need to tell them to stop it, and you need to tell them you need to go talk to that person. Okay? Or even better yet, if they're right there, grab them by the elbow. Take them over to the person and says, hey, brother or sister, this person has something to tell you. Let them work it out, okay? Let them work it out. So if a brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. And frankly, folks, that's where most of the time it ends. If we are truly God's people, if we've truly been forgiven in Christ, just as God forgave us, if we're to be people that are kind and compassionate, if we're to be people that put on kindness and compassion and we're to bear with one another and forgive each other whatever grievances we have against one another, and we're to forgive in Christ as God forgave us, and over all these things we're to put on love, then if someone comes to us or we have to go to someone else and talk to them about wrongdoing or misunderstanding or miscommunication or whatever it is, that should settle it just between the two of you. That's as far as it should go. That's as far as it should have to go. And if it's not, why not? Somebody's being proud. Somebody's being arrogant. Somebody's being just a stinker because they don't want to take care of the problem. Hey, it shouldn't be like that. We should have a desire for reconciliation and forgiveness in God's church. But sometimes that doesn't happen right away. And so in verse 16, he goes on to say, but if he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. All right. So if he won't listen to you and won't get it worked out, then you're to go and find preferably two or three other spiritual person. This would be, you can go to the preacher, you can go to the elders of the church, you can go to spiritual men or women that you trust and believe that this other person would trust, and take them with you so that you can try to establish this matter. And it says, if he refuses to listen to them, so now you're dealing with somebody that's really got a hard heart and who is really caught up in sin. If this person has tried to deal with them privately and tried to work it out and they refused, and now they're coming back with two or three other spiritual people and they refuse to listen. Wow. Then it says you're to tell it to the church, or an actual better word there would be assembly. When Jesus was talking about this, the church wasn't even in existence yet. And so tell it to the assembly. In other words, you're to tell it to the whole of God's people. And it says if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. And that's because his heart's so hard and because he's forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins, that he needs to come to an eye opener. And you're to avoid him and not to have fellowship with him to bring him to his senses. So that's really the process of forgiveness, folks. Is really all it is that if someone has wronged us, if they don't come and let us know fairly quickly, we're to go and tell them if it's going to be something that bothers us. Now, remember, we talked about, hey, if you can just let it go and say, I forgive them and I'm not going to let that bother me, fine, do it. Far better. But if you can't get it, if you're hurt too deep and it just was something that was a breach of faith and it's really bothering you and you're angry and you're frustrated and you're upset, don't sit there and let Satan have a foothold in your life. Go to them and talk to them and say, hey, I want to work this out. I want to let you know about something that you said or did, and work it out. And that should be the end of it. If not, two or three others. If not, the church. And then there has to be some consequences for the other person's hard heart in the matter. But hopefully it'll never get like that. Now, always remember in this process that the goal is love. The goal is reconciliation. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 3, Paul urged Timothy when he went into Macedonia to stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. These promote controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So even though Timothy was told to rebuke these men because they were teaching false doctrines, the goal was still love. The goal was still reconciliation. The goal wasn't humiliation. The goal wasn't to get one up on somebody. The goal wasn't to take revenge or make somebody feel bad. The goal was reconciliation. God's people should be living in a forgiving relationship with each other. And if they're not, they can't say they're God's people. You can't say that you're walking by faith if you refuse to forgive, if you refuse to communicate, if you refuse to let it go and make it up and make it right. Now, is that easy? Of course not. We've said it's not. Is it something that's just, I was sorry and forget it and we're done? No. Okay. In fact, here's another thing when you're dealing with forgiveness. All right. If someone comes to you and says, you did this to me or you sinned against me in this way, you need to be willing to say, oh, get over yourself. Don't do things like that. Don't say, oh, it's just, it was all your fault. You just misunderstood. Listen to them. And even if you don't think you were wrong or at fault, be willing to say, oh, I'm sorry that you heard me that way or that you heard me say those things. I don't remember saying those things. I don't remember being that upset or whatever it was, but be willing to say, but you know, if it hurts you that bad, brother or sister, you know, let's make it up. Let's do our best so that we don't have to get back in this situation again. Okay. And here's the other thing. If you know you were wrong, okay. If you know you were wrong, don't just go up to somebody and say, sorry. Okay. Make it real, make it genuine. You know, if someone comes to you, and especially if they come to you with some other people and they say, brother, you know, this needs to get reconciled, this needs to take care of, and here's what these witnesses heard you say and do, don't just be willing to say, sorry. Be willing to say, I was wrong. You know, if we can't say I was wrong, there's something wrong with our heart, okay? You know, nobody's ever right 100% of the time. And so, you know, you need to be a person and I need to be a person that's willing to admit I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm sorry that I hurt you in this specific way. Get specific with it. Don't leave it general and just like, okay, like sorry makes up for everything. Okay, tell them you're wrong. Tell them that this is what you did and how you hurt them. Let them know that you are truly repentant and you don't want this to happen again and you don't want it to go on. Now, it might. And if it does, that's where what Jesus said. If they come back to you 7 times or even 490 times, if there's a willingness, if there's a softness of heart, then let's take care of things between each other, please. Okay, let's be a people that honor Christ with the way that we forgive one another. Hey, let's listen to our first song this morning. And this is a song called Warn by 10th Avenue North. And sometimes, you know, when we get hurt or we get sinned or we get wronged against, it does feel like I'm tired, I'm worn. I just want to quit and give up. Don't. Okay, pray and ask God to put it on that person's heart. Pray that you can go and in a spirit of love and reconciliation, bring the relationship back together. But please realize that this is a process and don't give up. Don't grow weary in well-doing. Let's listen.
I'm tired, I'm worn, my heart is heavy. From the work it takes to keep keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left. Let me see redemption win. Let me know the struggle ends. That you can mend a heart that's frail and torn. I want
this morning, and let me remind you one more time, forgiveness is a process. You may go through all the things that we've already talked about. You may talk to somebody, they may talk to you, there may be tears, there may be crying, there may be I was wrong, and there may be please forgive me, and there may be reconciliation, and everybody walks away feeling good. And it may be the same night, it may be the next day, it may be down the road, but all of a sudden, something reminds you of what they did to you. A song, someone's tone of voice. You see somebody else going through a same thing, and it might bring it right back up to you. What do you do in a situation like that? Well, you have to forgive all over again. You have to make sure that you say, wait a minute, we discussed that. I've forgiven them. I am not going to hold this in my heart anymore. And you have to let it go. Okay? You have to let it go. And so that's why it's a process. It may, depending on the severity and the circumstances and the relationship and the degree, it may take years. It may take decades. In fact, you may never be able to forget about it fully, but you always need to be willing to have that attitude of forgiveness. I forgave them. I am not going to hold that against them anymore. I am not going to count that against them anymore. And I'm certainly not going to bring it up again. Remember, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 says that love keeps no record of wrongs. And so you need to get rid of it out of your mind and your heart just as soon as it comes in, even after you've forgiven someone. All right? And here's something that goes right along with that. And this is also in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, he's told us or shared with us how we're supposed to deal with a brother that's sinned against us. But let's look at Matthew 18 and verse 21. It says, Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Or 70 times 7, which is 490. And the point here is not that it's a specific number, but that there should never be a limit on the amount of times that we're to forgive our brother when they sinned against us, because God forgave us. Okay? God forgave us. That's why we are to forgive others, because God has forgiven us. But here's the point I want to make. When we forgive, or when we are being forgiven by someone else, it has to be from the heart. Forgiveness cannot be faked. Well, I suppose it can be, but it will not do any good. In fact, it will make things worse. Forgiveness has to be from the heart. And if it can't be from the heart, if you can't get through it yet, you got to just keep communicating. You just got to keep talking. You got to keep sharing until it finally is all out. And all the bitterness and all the anger and all the frustration and all the hurt, it's all gone and out of the way. Because if you don't forgive from your heart, it's a bad situation. Let's see what Jesus has to say. He says in verse 23 of Matthew 18, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents, which was a ridiculous amount of that of money. This would be like millions and millions, even billions of dollars in today's numbers. But a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that his wife, his children, and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Oh. Verse 26, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let it go. Did you hear that? He canceled it. He didn't just say, okay, I'll give you another 6 months or another year or even another 10 years. He canceled that huge debt. He had mercy on him, and he canceled that huge debt, and he let him go. That's what God did for us, folks. That's what God did for you and me. He canceled this huge debt of sin that we owed him, that we were under condemnation for, that we deserved death for. He was merciful and took pity on us and forgave us in Christ when we repented and acknowledged that great sacrifice. But then look at verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which is hardly anything, a couple bucks. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. And his fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. I mean, talk about unmerciful, hard-hearted, you rascal, that he would do that when he had been forgiven of such a huge debt. Well, guess what? Other people saw him. It says, when the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed. Yeah, I guess. And went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? There's the crux of the matter. Let me repeat that. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. Then verse 35, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. You don't think it's a serious thing to not forgive your brother from your heart or to harbor bitter resentment and unforgiveness and he doesn't deserve it and I didn't do anything wrong and I don't want to be his friend anymore and I don't want to be close to him. Well, I'll tell you what, you're in danger, Mr. or Mrs. of God's condemnation, because God, if you're not merciful, is going to just, it's all back on you. And so don't test God's wrath. Don't test God's mercy. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? That's what Paul's saying in Ephesians 4:32. Forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave us. And so, friends, forgiveness needs to be from our heart. Don't withhold forgiveness. Don't put it out and act like you don't have to. Don't withhold it when you know you should. Be willing to, be eager to even forgive others when they've sinned against you, and be willing to go to others quickly when you know you've sinned against them, or be willing to listen carefully if somebody comes to you and tries to talk to you. Don't be a hard-hearted wretch, okay? Please. All right, now here's the last thing. What if someone refuses to forgive me? Well, you can't do anything about that. What if you go to somebody and want them to forgive you and they refuse? Can't do anything about that either. But in light of what I just said, boy, maybe you better pray for them, because they're in big trouble if they don't get rid of that attitude. But here's the thing. Even if they're not willing, you be willing. You be the better person. You be the person that falls before God and says, God, I'm so sorry this is happening. I don't know why my brother or sister's heart is so hard. And Lord, I want to reconcile. I want to forgive. I want to be forgiven. But they refuse. God, please break their heart. Please bring something into their life that'll show them their error, their wrongdoing in this matter. And Lord, I don't want it to be like this. And you know my heart. God, help me not to get bitter. Help me not to get hard-hearted. Help me not to, you know, grow cold toward that person. But Lord, help me to have the love and compassion that I need. And help me to be ready to sincerely, truly forgive when they come to their senses. Okay? So even if the other person doesn't forgive, and I've heard it from lots of people. Yep, I've tried to talk to them. They won't talk to me. I've asked for forgiveness. They don't want to give it. They refuse to recognize their wrong against me, and they just blow me off and act like it's all my fault. You know, you can't do anything about it. That's where you just have to bear with each other and pray for them. Pray for them, pray for them, that God would open up their eyes and get them to see their error. Because I'll tell you what, I don't want God to be like that master in the parable and turn me over to his wrath and anger and his condemnation. I want to forgive because I've been forgiven. And I want to be willing to forgive multiple times because God was willing to forgive me. And he's still willing to forgive me. Even when I have sinned, if I have a soft heart and will confess my sin. And he promised that he would purify us from all unrighteousness. What an incredible subject this has been. What an incredible way to think about life from an attitude of forgiveness. You know, I hope that this has really blessed your life, and I hope that if you have any questions or concerns about forgiveness, that you'd please look us up. Please find us at the Church at Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn, and you can come meet with us Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, or even Wednesday night. We have prayer and Bible study. And we'd love to meet you and talk to you, get to know you, answer your questions about forgiveness or any other subject. Okay, we want to hold out the word of life to those that don't know it. And if you'd like to find us on the web, you can find us at thechurchatlasvegas.com. That's thechurchatlasvegas.com. We'd love for you to learn a little bit more about us there. There's a place where you can contact, leave us an email message, and we'll be happy to get back with you as soon as we can. Or you can call us. Our phone number is 702-876-3499. That's 702-876-3499. Folks, I hope that you know that you're forgiven before God. That's first, just like we talked about. I hope you know what it means that you can be forgiven. I hope you are a forgiving person and that you're willing to forgive when somebody comes to you. But whatever you do, just keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that in Him we have forgiveness.